Please take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Let's look at verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 2.
Ooh. Boom. Can you hear me now?
Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. The Bible says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So here we are going to talk about the strange woman, the stranger. The Bible, again in our study in Proverbs, different characters that we've looked at, we can learn much when we examine these people. This one is going to deal directly towards this strange woman here. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11:1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. And so who are these strangers here? The Bible talks about strange women, strange gods, strange fire. It carries the term of unknown. They're foreigners to the covenant. They're foreigners to God's law. They're outsiders. And we're going to dive in deeper and see that they're very dangerous. And so we just have a couple points that we'll bring out. Now, I don't believe that we have any strange women in the congregation this morning, those that we're going to look at, but it's always good to still study the Word of God, to understand, to examine our, I see some giggling and some laughing going on here. it's the benefit to, as Brother Junior brought out, to examine ourselves, though we might not be a full-blown strange woman, or a stranger to the covenants of promise, we can still see if there may be an area, because we're not only going to look at the attire, but we're going to look at the attitude of this strange woman. And it can come out in all of us, though it's directed more this morning towards the woman. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. So first we're going to look at her attire. Now when the Bible talks about this strange woman, we're going to see that there's many strong words that are given towards this strange woman. And take it for what it is as we try to understand this and teach and preach this. We may talk about some things that are for a mature audience. Now we are all of age. All the children have left. First thing we read here in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10, this is in a greater passage talking about a strange woman. It says here in verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Now, we're not maybe strange to this understanding here of a harlot. That's one who prostitutes their body for hire. Easy sleazy is that message that this woman is wanting others to know about her. And when it comes to the clothing, the Bible makes it very clear that there is an attire of a harlot. Whether it's short, whether it's tight, whether it's uncovering areas of the body, that is the attire of a harlot. She knows what she wants others to think about her. Because clothing in and of itself is a language. Yes. It's interesting, when you put on certain clothes, it makes you feel different. Right. It makes you act different. Yes. When I worked with the demolition company, the term was boot 'em and suit 'em. And when we would boot up and suit up, we were going down into the hole. And we knew that the attire we had to put on was for that work that needed to be done. Understand? It gave you this sense of security that you could overcome certain things that you were met with because you had on that attire. Okay, that's just an example. When you put on a shirt and a tie or a suit or something very nice, you carry yourself a little different than when you're in your sweatpants and a t-shirt, right?
Right.
Okay? So as long as we understand that, clothing is a language in and of itself, and her clothing labeled her as a harlot. The Bible said very clearly, with the attire of a harlot, okay? It designated it. It labeled it. And so you will play the part or the look with the clothes that you wear. It's very important. Now again, this is a very touchy topic when you start talking about clothing, especially women and their clothing. When I pastored, there was three things that were always very touchy: clothing, children, and if we want to alliterate, coins. When you talk about money, when you talk about raising children, and when you talk about women's clothing. But we're just going to preach what the Bible says. And if we have a submissive and open heart to instruction and correction, we can learn a lot.
Right.
So what are our clothes? Are they nice? Are they sloppy? Are they dirty? Are they sleazy? What is it? The Bible says, and I think it's Deuteronomy 22:5, that a man is not to wear that which pertaineth unto a woman.
Right.
Yet we see that in our day. And God says it's an abomination. Remember, that's something that makes him sick.
Yes.
To see that. And so men are to wear men's clothing and women are to wear women's clothing.
Right.
And we're not going to delve too deep into this subject because I could teach and preach for weeks on this end. But God made a distinction between the sexes.
Right.
And there is a biblical line, there is a demarcation that separates the two. And their clothing is to separate them also.
Right.
And their attitudes. But the Bible makes it very clear that there's something opposite in the eyes of God. There is a different kind of clothing for a different kind of woman. That's not strange in the eyes of God, but rather it's accepted in the eyes of God. Look here and keep your finger there in Proverbs. Go over to the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. There is an idea, the purity of the heart will show itself in the modesty of dress. When we want to talk about modesty now, because we know that the Bible labeled this strange woman with an attire of a harlot, we understand that that is not modest.
Right.
Now, I could take you where the Bible does say something is modest, and we'll understand what the Bible means by modest. Not our modern vernacular, but the biblical vernacular. That's in 1 Timothy. But let's go 1 Peter chapter 3 first. Verse 1-3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Conversation is your manner of life, your way of life. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. We'll see with this strange woman This is very opposite. She is loud, the Bible says. She's flashy. But there's a difference here. This is what the Bible wants. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is what the Bible wants for women who profess godliness. Now, if you don't have a profession of faith, you're going to live any way you want. You're your own boss, and nobody's going to tell me what to do or what to wear or how to look or,
right.
You know, no. But if you're a woman who has been saved by the grace of God, you have submitted yourself to the Word of God and the Spirit of God to let God instruct you in how your conversation should be. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel. Now, when you look that word up in a Strong's Concordance, the Greek word picture is a long flowing garment. And it even says down to the floor. A long flowing garment. Let's continue. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, if you're stubborn of heart, you're going to be like, well, so you know, you expect me to wear this long robe and I can't wear any jewelry and this, that, and that. No, that's not what we're saying. Try to understand the spirit behind that. But if that is your automatic thinking when you hear this,
right.
You need to check your heart.
Yes.
Okay? You need to check your heart. So understand this first and foremost, that there is an attire that will separate a woman who professes godliness and a woman who does not. And if we were to hold up two pictures, you would see a stark contrast. And you know what? The world knows it too. They know it. They know the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And for young women looking for a godly husband,
right.
One that is a man of God, he shouldn't be attracted to this, the attire of the harlot.
Right.
And so therefore she should not prostitute her body as the attire of a harlot, but rather a woman who professes godliness in modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is what? Great price.
Yes.
What a challenge for a woman.
Right.
You know, men, we get a lot of challenges in the scriptures.
Yes.
Most of the Bible is speaking towards men. But here is an opportunity where you can learn from a virtuous woman and contrast it to a strange woman. And you can be challenged by the scriptures to have something that is of great price in the eyes of God. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
So we see the attire. Now let's move on to the attitude. Let's go back there to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs. Sorry, let me turn there. Proverbs. And where were we? Proverbs. We were in 7 and we were in 2. Look here in chapter 5. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Proverbs 7, back there. So we saw verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Here we see the attitude. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. We can see this. She's very subtle of heart as we continue on in this little story here. She's sly and she's crafty and she's deceitful. She's like her father, the devil, a thief. She hunts for the precious life, the Bible says. And she wants to take it. She preys on the simple. The Bible said that she met him. Let's continue our story, because I'm going to bring out a lot of things here. It says in verse 12, now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. So that gives us a greater idea now as we break it down and we look at this attitude here, that she's very subtle in heart, that she's crafty and she's being deceitful and she knows what she wants and she's going after it. But it's very different when we contrast it. And I don't know how much I want to contrast this morning, because next week we're going to look at the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. And so there'll be a lot of contrasting there. But so I really want to try to just more bring out more of this idea of the attitude of this strange woman. Stubborn, the Bible says in verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. To be stubborn is to be obstinate, to be fixed in your opinion, to be headstrong. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me right from wrong. I'm going to do it my way. Nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. Stubborn and loud. Lets everyone know that this is the way that I am going to live my life. And they let it be known, not just with words, but again, with the way they dress and with the way they act, with the way they carry themselves and with the way they hold themselves, which is so very different to that which is not strange, the one who is submissive and open to correction, instruction, open to being shown the right way from the wrong way, not stubborn in heart. Turn to Deuteronomy 21, please. I have a lot of verses, but I'm trying to pick here for sake of time. Deuteronomy 21. In verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they go on and they say, hey, this is a stubborn son. And they take care of it. Now, there's ways to handle this, obviously. One, get saved, amen. When you're saved, you should have that submissive and open heart, an open spirit to God's correction, to God's instruction. But this woman, no. This woman, she's wearing the attire of a harlot. She's showing herself to others. And they know what she wants. And she knows when she dresses that way what they want. She's subtle of heart. She's being sly and crafty about it. By the way, she's lying in wait, the Bible says. She knows when the simple is going to pass by, and that's the target. Like the devil who waits, he seeks whom he may devour. She's stubborn. Nobody's going to tell her right from wrong. She refuses the role that God has ordained for her life. She's in the streets, it says in verse 12. Now is she without, now in the street. She's always on the go. She wants to be an independent woman. She's not going to be one who is going to be stuck at home, quote unquote. But there's a contrast to that where the Bible talks about women that should guide the house and bear children. And all those things. And this woman, this is not like this woman. Turn to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to throw in the contrasts. Yeah. Titus chapter 2. In Titus, again, here some more instruction directly towards women. When you look in the Word of God, again, the bulk of it is directed towards men. So women, get a hold of these when you have some that are directed towards you. Titus 2 and verse 5, or let's just start in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So this is truth. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What's your job? Verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. That's a great opposite from what we've already read about this strange woman. Chaste. That's opposite. Keepers at home. That's opposite because she's out in the streets. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. We know that she's running around behind her husband's back because he's gone. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Again, it all comes back down to the word of God. Who is in control of my life? Who is calling the shots in my life? Do I have a Lord? If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Do I now have an authority over me that will direct me and guide me in the right way? Sound doctrine, it said here, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So if I'm doing these other things, what's happening? It's not sound doctrine, and the word of God is going to be blasphemed. Turn to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. And we're going to look at these verses because may I not take for granted that we're familiar with them. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. Verse 14. I will therefore, 1 Timothy 5, 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry. It's just, God said that it's good not to be alone, amen? That they marry. And then what? Bear children. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The world and the devil, they'll come after that. If you're professing godliness and professing the name of Jesus, yet living contrary to the revealed will of God for your life as a woman, as a man. There's a great contrast here. Back there in Proverbs, she's also shameless. She's this impudent face. She's immodest not only in her attire, but in her actions. She's very forward. Men, look out for those women that are very forward. The Bible says in Jeremiah 3:3, along the lines of a whore's forehead. The impudent face, the one that's strong, and the one that's going after things. The word picture there is a face like a flint. In some areas, that's a good thing. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem like a flint, the Bible said. He knew what he was going after, and he was going to accomplish it, and he was going forward for it. But this woman is going forward for the wrong things. Shameless. Shameless in her dress. Shameless in her attitude. Shameless with her words. What else? She's superstitious. Verse 14. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vow. What? You went to church this morning, girl? And now you're acting like this? She made offerings. She's just religious. Because if she was saved, she wouldn't be acting like this. It was just an outward show. How wicked. She said, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Back there in Proverbs 2 and verse 17, it says this. I don't know if we read this verse or not, but it said, when we looked there in Proverbs 2, it said that, speaking of this woman, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She was taught right. And that makes it even worse. She was taught right. She knew. She knew that she was supposed to go to church. But in her actions and in her attitude and in her attire, she never got the real thing. And that happens. We see it happen with children. They're taught right. They go to church. They get out of church, the world gets a hold of them. The world got a hold of this one. She's forsaking the guide of her youth. She's forgetting the covenant of her God. How wicked. Look further on, verse 15 through 17. She's sensual. She knows how to excite passions and entertain the senses with the sights and the sounds and the smells. She says here in verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt, those things that are for the sights. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. The smells come. And then we'll get to that next part there. But so what do we see here? She knew how to get the attention of the opposite sex. And we need to be careful. And men need to be careful. When there's a forward woman that is subtle of heart, stubborn, shameless, superstitious, and sensual, because she's seeking for the precious life. I'm a Christian too. Oh, no, you're not. What do we see here? All of these things. And so, let's just be careful. Verse 7, she's sneaky. Number 7, she's sneaky. Verses 18 through 20. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. But wait, aren't you married? Well, the goodman is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech. You see, he lent his ear for too long. With her much fair speech, she got a hold of that ear. She got a hold of those eyes. She got all of the senses. She's getting involved in this man, this young man, the simple man is what it says here. She caused him to yield. Okay? He might have had some defenses up at first, but he lent it for too long. She caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You see, she was sneaky. Now, obviously, we know the contrast to this is the faithful, virtuous woman. You know, she's faithful to her husband. Man, I got so much, and we're running out of time. Don't worry. He's gone. He's not going to be back for a while. The simple was subdued, and she got a hold of him. Verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. He just, everything got a hold of him and put him in like this ether moment where he couldn't say no. It was like, you remember that, what was that, Pepe Le Pew, the old cartoon? Maybe that's not a good example, but man, and she'd go by or she'd try to get his attention, he'd just go after her. It's like a buck in the rut. There's no more thinking, there's no more restraints, and what happens? A dart strikes through his liver. A bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. That bird just caught. And it's for the life. But we see it's coming from her much fair speech. Talkative. Loud. Remember, the opposite is a meek and quiet spirit. Flattery is what the Bible is saying here. Flattery is false praise for the purpose of gaining favor. Watch out when the flattery is coming. It says there in Proverbs 2, verse 16 and 17, that she flattered with her words. She's forsaking and forgetting her God. Her lips, the Bible said, are smoother than oil. She's enticing and alluring. She's fleshly. She's full of poison.
Yes.
It's a two-edged sword. It's going to cut through your body and your soul, the Bible says. Proverbs 6, verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman. What keeps us from the evil woman, men? Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let the Bible instruct you. Let the Bible correct you. Let the Bible get you on the straight and narrow so you don't fall victim to the strange woman. Proverbs 9. 13 through 18, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Listen to her call. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell.
Yes, yes.
Remember, this speech, don't lend your ear to it. Well, be careful, little ears, what you hear. You know what's interesting is wisdom's also crying out.
Right.
Look here in verse 4 of chapter 9. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. You see, these voices, they're calling to us all the time. Which one are we going to lend our ear to? Which one are we going to listen to? It sounds so good, but you know what? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and so we need to be careful. Can I, in conclusion, turn us one more place? Let's see. Proverbs 7, 24 through 26. Now remember, the Bible already said that her mouth is as a deep pit. The Bible already said that the dead are there, that it's basically a highway to hell. Verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. That's the word of God. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. There are paths and there are ways that these women are on. Stay off them. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Take heed, ye that think ye stand, lest ye fall. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Listen, her beauty is but a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. The Bible says she's cast down many, so we need to avoid her. How do we avoid her? We hear the word, we guard the heart, amen. We're open to correction and instruction. So we kind of hit us from both directions this morning. Just remember, there is an attire, there is an attitude, there is an articulation that comes from the strange woman. Let it not be once named among the saints of God. Men, she's been revealed. Stay away from her. Don't lend your ear to her. Don't go down her path because the dead are there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for instructing us this morning. I pray that you would help us as we open our hearts to the word to be more like thee. Lord, I pray that through this study we have been challenged, and as we continue then next week on the virtuous woman, that the ladies of the congregation would strive to be just that. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.